Hello, I am Andy Zaltzman, and as always before the first news quiz of a new year, I've just been sent the confidential briefing notes on everything that's going to happen in the UK over the next 12 months. Let's have a look. Right, that's interesting. The NHS waiting list to exceed the average human lifespan. The logical endpoint, I guess. Daily Telegraph to be renamed the Saudi Sun. That's... Well, that's interesting. I suppose that's one way of minimising the damage to the royal family's reputation, but will Rwanda want him? And finally, oh, the entire legal system to be fully replaced by the ITV drama department. Right. That is not public domain yet, so can we keep that between us as we unleash another year of the News Quiz? Welcome, welcome to 2024. We are almost a quarter of the way through the century now. Our teams this week, after a tricky start to the decade, we have team Things Can Only Get Better against team Are You Sure About That? On team Better, we have Jeff Norcott and Shappy Corsandy. On team Are You Sure? Ian Smith and Aisha Hazarika. Our first question goes to Ian and Aisha. Which television programme has brought a national scandal into the spotlight?
The Teletubbies.
Right, okay. Can you explain?
Not one of them had a TV licence.
No. Any other suggestions? What TV programmes brought a national scandal into the spotlight?
Well, yeah, it's the big post office drama.
Correct.
Which I haven't watched, and I'm not going to watch it, because I know what happens now.
Right.
I know that it's a serious miscarriage of justice, but what I will say is, so the last time I went to the post office, someone had finished, and I went up to the counter, and the woman there, without looking me in the eye, said, "I'm not ready yet." So I walked back to the queue, and as soon as I got back to the queue, she pressed a thing that went, "Cashier number four, please." So what I'm saying is, I wouldn't mind if some of them are in prison. some of them deserve it.
When I first heard about a Royal Mail scandal, everyone was like, "Oh, what's Andrew done now?" And also, I find this really, really difficult as a kind of an Asian person, because it was like post office owners versus IT guys, and it was horrible to see my people turn against each other. Very, very uncomfortable. But on one serious note, the thing that is so extraordinary about this is we've had a lot of scandals recently, and this just sums up the British legal system. You've got Michelle Moan, who is innocent until proven guilty, and you have these post office people who are guilty until proved otherwise. It is just absolutely mad.
The real scandal of this is, after all this, they're still using the Horizon thing. They're still using this technology. It's a bit like if in Terminator, they'd have gone, okay, Skynet did become self-aware and tried to kill everyone and everything, but we've had a chat with the programmers, and and we think that we've fixed most of the glitches now. It's and you know, with the post office as well, even if they do deliver compensation, they'll probably leave it with a neighbour.
It's incredible how alarm bells weren't set off. Like, Ed Davey is now sort of... he was the postmaster... What was he? The king of the...
King, yeah, king.
He was the king at the time.
He was Postman Pat for 2 years, at the start of the coalition.
He was Postman Pat, and the lack of accountability has been incredible, because he's acting like the entire scandal was a coffee order mix-up, and he's just a bit like, "I'm not giving back my knighthood," like, you know, they should have made it an EastEnders plot line or something like that. And the woman, is it Paula Venables? So she was in charge of the post office, and she's actually an Anglican priest. And someone in her position should know how to handle a scandal like this. You don't fire people, you move them to a different parish. I believe that the lesson of this whole episode is, do not radicalise ITV audiences, because they know a wrong'un when they see one. They can sniff out a baddie. Look how quickly they turned on Holly Willoughby. They decided, no, she came down quicker than Saddam Hussein's statue. And that's why this government has tried to distract them by freezing them in their homes and jacking up their mortgages, because they know how powerful they are.
I think you make a really fair point. I mean, for the Lib Dems, it must have been a weird few days, because up until Friday of last week, their campaign team must have been going, we just need to be part of the conversation. Something, anything. There's literally no such thing as bad press, apart from this. I mean, I think we are finally one step... We're just a bit closer to knowing what Ed Davey sounds like. I think that would be cool. Look, I'll do an Ed Davey impersonation now. Hello, I'm Ed... None of you know if that's good. That might be the best Ed Davey impersonation on the market. It's
Ed Davey's probably listening in this episode going, he's absolutely nailed my accent.
I think the thing which has been difficult for Ed Davey is that, I mean, to be fair to him, since 1999, when the Horizon thing came in, there have been a lot of post office ministers. There's been 7 Labour ministers, 8 Tories and 4 Liberal Democrats. I think the thing that hasn't helped Ed Davey is that his go-to political jujitsu move is to call for everybody to resign as soon as anybody does anything bad. Like, he also loves a stunt, and normally the Liberal Democrats would be like asking for Ed Davey to like resign and like rocking up with a big removals van. But I do think, got to be honest here, the reason why Ed Davey has been hounded is because the Lib Dems are rinsing the Tories in loads of by-elections, and they're going to take away a lot of their votes in the blue wall. So I think we've got to be a bit like alive to that as well.
You see how happy the Tories are, that it's not exclusively them that messed up. They're just, they're cock-a-hoop, aren't they? They're high-fiving. Lads, it was only partially us this time. It was only, we may have been predominantly responsible, but we weren't totally responsible. This feels like progress. You know, like if you wake up and you forgot your anniversary, but so is your wife. You're like, excellent. It's this weird thing that it has been around, right? We say, well, why weren't the journalists covering it? They were. There were a lot of reports in it. Why weren't there documentaries? There was one a couple of years ago. So it's sort of some weird combination of Toby Jones's brilliance and it being January. Because if this had been on BritBox, we still wouldn't give a toss. I think as well, you could probably overestimate. Like, it's still got to be a good story. I would love another injustice to be made by ITV. My ongoing battle with Ringwood County Council about a... 3 points, a dual carriageway, right? Say dual carriageway, 30 miles an hour, you can't even see a house. How is that a residential area? Now, that doesn't sound good coming from me, but you get Toby Jones saying that.
He's probably listening now. He's like pausing it, rewinding it, just getting your accent, trying to get your mannerisms, but probably not from the radio. How good an actor he is.
I do think there was something madly ironic about watching this story about huge IT failures on the ITV hub, which is literally the worst streaming platform of terrestrial television. Also, I do feel if there's any karma in the world, the government will carry on using Fujitsu software to calculate the compensations, and they'll mess it up and give more money to the postmasters.
I mean, one thing, like, it does seem that why do all these things take so long to be resolved? If you look at Grenfell, if you look at Hillsborough, you look at the WASPI women, and it's always like successive governments, under successive governments. And I don't really have a joke here, but I don't feel that infused about the next election, to be honest.
And also, like with Grenfell, it's always, like I say, I'm obsessed with the fact that it was an ITV audience that have brought this down. It's like a normal working class audience. It's what it takes to step up, and the sort of people that Rishi... Have you seen, look, when he goes through a town centre, he has to have, like, a little person who... He goes through it like the rest of us watch an Attenborough documentary, and he has to have people explaining to him, saying, it's all right, sir, they're just smiling. Just because they're baring their teeth, it doesn't mean they're going to attack you.
But, of course, we talked about the villains, and, of course, the hero of the piece is Alan Bates, but I think we should be a bit wary about turning Alan Bates into too much of a national hero. I mean, nothing against him, but I just think we did need to do some background checks in his immediate family. Do any of them want to build a very expensive spa? You know, just let me check that. But also, like, of course he's a massive hero. Now there's this big campaign. There's been this campaign to get Paula Venables to give her CBE back, and there's now a campaign to give him a knighthood. But I just don't think that's enough. I think that's virtue signalling. It's to ease our collective guilt. I think what we've got to do is put Alan Bates in the House of Lords and make him the actual post office minister, because I think he's the only person you can trust to sort out this mess.
Aisha, You've worked in politics for a long time. Is that not a very dangerous road to go down, putting people with relevant expertise in the House of Lords?
I would say as well, maybe again, this is me coming on the negative side of the post office workers here. But hear me out. 700 people accused. I reckon at least one of them has done it.
Yeah.
And they will be over the moon with this. One guilty person going, this is fantastic, look for me.
I think you're right. I think it'd be a great time to do a bit of post office fraud, wouldn't it? It's just like you go, I have done nothing. This is just the corporate establishment trying to tear me down. You go, Jeff, you've got envelopes stuffed down your trousers there. Your legs are massive, mate.
Well, I think for a £600,000 payout, it's now become the most realistic way of me buying a house is to be falsely accused of something. So I'm going to try and get myself falsely accused of something during tonight's recording.
I mean, on the Paula Venables giving her CBE back, does this set an exciting new template that, as well as the New Year's honours list, we could have an official New Year's dishonours list? I mean, I think it could work. It could work like the existing honours process. Some would thoroughly deserve to be on the dishonours list. Others would just be randomly picked for nakedly political reasons. Plus, we should have sports people who lose.
Are you talking about promotion and relegation from the Lords? It could definitely make the end of season really interesting as we come... I mean, everybody says it lacks a bit of context. As we come up to recess, you go, still a lot to play for at the bottom there. Lord Winsome of Thames there, he has got a lot of allegations hanging over him. But I'll tell you so, if he could open a church, he could keep this together.
Again, that's sounding dangerously democratic, Jeff.
You know how you can nominate someone you know, like just a normal person in your community that does lots of nice things for an honour? We could do that, but a dishonour list for the guy in my road who saves himself a parking space using wheelie bins. I'm very excited about this.
I like that. I like that. Also, maybe for people who haven't yet worked out, you can pull the petrol hose over to the other side of the car.
This is news to me.
Across
the car?
Right, OK, so...
Wow.
Inform, educate and entertain. The government has this week announced plans to ensure that what is completely cleared by the end of the year? Anyone?
A Tory majority.
The convictions are going to clear all the... are going to overturn the convictions of postmasters.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Ian, you mentioned you think at least one of the many hundred postmasters. But do you know, for an extra point, what will postmasters have to do when they get their exoneration and compensation?
What are they going to have to do when they get exonerated? Probably going to have to laser off the face tattoos they got done in prison. It's going to be like Margaret, 53, denouncing gang affiliations. She's got to go back and work in a post office. She shanked three people with a toothbrush. She's never going to be the same again.
I mean, the postmistress does sound like a brilliant crime matriarch, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's your next ITV1 drama, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not kicking off in a post office now. If they say, oh, it's £7 for first class, I'm like, that's a bit steep. And then Margaret comes out, two dumbbells still in her hand. You what?
But they're going to have to sign a document saying they're innocent, which I think could be a cost-saving measure for all future court cases.
Yeah. Foolproof.
They should get sort of 18 innocent postmasters and 4 guilty postmasters and film them, and the innocent ones have to work out who the guilty ones are. And the guilty ones can kill off innocent ones. I don't know if I've got something else in my head, but I think that'd be a good show.
Yes, indeed, as the old joke goes, what do the convictions of over 700 sub-postmasters have in common with a tortoise in a fluorescent gimp outfit waggling its legs in the air? They both need to be overturned as soon as possible, and they should not have been allowed to happen in the first place. Former Post Office Chief Executive Paula Venables has said that she will return her CBE immediately, although with the state of the Postal Service at the moment, there's a pretty good chance it will end up being popped back through her letterbox in 8 months' time with a random Christmas card, a Pulse coupon from the 1980s and a very confused iguana. But since the broadcast of Mr. Bates versus the Post Office, ITV has been inundated with scripts sent in by people hoping to have their historic injustices resolved through the medium of a primetime drama. Alongside Jeff Norcott versus his local council, we have Mrs. Sclutterbridge versus the speed camera, Mr. Wambleterry versus the little bastard from Three Doors Down who keeps throwing eggs at my vintage Ford Capri, and most tantalisingly of all, Arsenal versus VAR. At the end of that round, the scores are 3 to Ian and Aisha and 2 to Shappy and Jeff. Right, it's a big year for elections this year. Feel the enthusiasm from our studio audience there. Elections here in the UK almost certainly and in the USA, so we're going to do a home or away elections round. Jeff and Shappy?
I'd like to go home, please.
22-46. Not only the year the COVID inquiry is now predicted to end, but also what?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's the poll numbers, isn't it? They are less than perfect for the Tories.
Yes.
It's going to be an election, isn't it? Rishi Sunak has gone balls out. He's nailed his colours to the mast. He said it's going to be sometime in the second half of the year. Unequivocally, probably, that's my working assumption. He's like, working assumption? You're the Prime Minister, mate, you know? That sounds like the kind of thing I'd say to my wife about a domestic chore. I'd be like, babe, it is my working assumption that we will clear the Christmas tree backlog sometime in the third quarter. I mean, in a way, you could sort of understand his reluctance as a Tory Prime Minister, given the polls. It's sort of like setting a date for being kicked in the balls by an elephant, isn't it? It's like, it's going to happen, but it's going to hurt. And I have to say, the early signs are...
It's amazing what you can book on the internet now, isn't it?
I got a voucher. Did anybody see the first PMQs back this week? I think Starmer called Sunak Mr. Nobody, which sounds like the bleakest of Mr. Men. And Sunak called Starmer flip-flop. And you're like, lads, this banter is painful, man. I was thinking, you know when they do the live debates, it's going to be a bit like at school, where you know when you egged on the two biggest nerds to have a fight? And then when they did, everyone felt compromised. Thought, oh, this is... And then when the teachers showed up, they weren't even in a rush to stop it because there was no serious risk of injury.
You're bringing back some horrible memories for me, Jeff.
I mean, he brought back David Cameron. Right, this is the thing. He's really small, OK? He's really small. So the first thing you do is, before Christmas, he picked a fight over marbles. When you look like an 8-year-old schoolboy, don't even mention marbles. And then he picks David Cameron, who's 6'4". To stand next to him, so it sort of looked like bring your dad back to work day. They've been comebacks. I mean, David Cameron came back. Liz Truss tried to come back, didn't she, last year at conference? And you're like, whoa, too soon, Liz, too soon. It'd be a bit like if Hugh Edwards on the next series of Masked Singer, wouldn't it? Too soon, Hugh. You've at least got to do the jungle, mate, you know?
So, I mean, it's a good answer, Jeff. The question was 22-46.
Sorry, is this a quiz? Oh, did I jump off on the wrong thing?
No, it is about the election. Can anyone tell me what the numbers 22-46 refer to?
It just sounds like a train time, does it? It sounds like a train that's definitely going to get cancelled.
22-46, anyone?
I think they might be to do with the... Labour Party has quite a commanding lead over the Tory Party at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Is this the percentage you would want Starmer or Sunak as Prime Minister? But that leaves 52% who have just gone, no one. Mm. No one is currently the most popular candidate.
The thing is, I'm not like the idea of a Labour government doesn't sort of like worry me in the way it once did. But I do wish that they have to do something active to win it. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of been handed to them, isn't it? Like when the Tories have imploded, the SNP have imploded. And it's a bit like, you know, this final scene from Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels? It's a bit like there's Keir Starmer standing there, carnage everywhere, and he's just got a couple of bags going, if I'm not mistaken, I think we're in the clear. I know his voice shouldn't matter, but it does. It's like, blah, 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 but it's not. Look, I know it's Radio 4. This isn't the most evolved satire you're ever going to hear. But I get on the one hand, people say, like, look, Jeff, we had a very charismatic Prime Minister. Look what happened there. But it feels like we're going all the way to a geezer that would sort of go on an Amsterdam stag do and see museums, you know, like that.
Sunak said that if Keir Starmer gets in, we'll be back to square one. I think, what square do you think we're on now? What square. If this was a game of Monopoly, we'd have lost the dice, spilt coffee all over it, and the water company would be covered in human excrement.
Square One sounds like his nickname as a nerd, doesn't it? Like when he speaks, you go, all right, Square One, leave it.
But I mean, are you sure you've worked in Labour strategy? Do you not think with the state of the country at the moment, the Conservatives might just have given Labour the ideal campaign slogan, just back to square one?
Oh, and apparently, like, when it's been focus grouped, people are like, yeah, the idea of kind of erasing the absolute kind of hellscape that we're in right now does sound really, really nice. I mean, it's interesting that Rishi Sunak has sort of said, look, as Jeff said, the working assumption is we're going to have the election in the later part of the year. And I've always thought that because, you know, he doesn't want to go early because the polls are really bad. And also it takes about sort of 7-8 months to reapply for your American green card. So I think...
I mean, Rishi is irritated. Like, that's the problem, isn't it? He sort of seems like he just won a series of Junior Apprentice, doesn't he? Like, hello! Like, he thinks he should win just because he revised enough. I did an all-nighter with Ollie from year 10. That sounds really bad, take that.
And also, I feel like I'm in safe company to say this, but Rishi really leans into the phrase, the British people.
It is like he's trying to hypnotise you by going, what the British people want, and you're like, I'm a British person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want that. They want to vote for us again for another 13 years. Like, we do? OK.
It's going to be interesting for the Lib Dems to... They've won all these by-elections because they can go round place by place and just say, we'll do whatever you want, because no-one knows what their policy platform is. So they go, we're Lib Dems, we want to build houses. And people go, we don't. They go, that's what I said, we don't want to build houses.
It's like a rare historic opportunity to really obliterate a party. Like, even if you're not sort of massively sort of anti-conservative, it's funny. It's funny to see someone go from the lead to, like, nothing. And I think that's where it's heading. Rishi Sunak did a speech in October at the conference. He apparently used the word change 30 times, and now his message is stick with the plan. And that, I think, shows that in a sort of clever way, he's a man of his word, because he's even changed changing. The concept of changing, he's now changed that to sticking with a plan, which is a change. I like the guy. I also think it's weird that he was having a go at Keir Starmer, and he's saying all Keir Starmer does is snipe from the sidelines. Like, he's the opposition. that's what you do. You're given a sideline to snipe from. And I think even when they say, oh, we haven't heard what Keir Starmer wants to do, I think there's a fairness in that. But also, there hasn't been a general election. You don't need to say anything, really. And also, he's in a position where he's got such a big poll lead that the risk of saying anything, because you don't know how mad his policies are. he could be saying to people, come on, let me say one of them. Like, no, come on, we're in the lead. Right, yeah, but it's a comfortable lead. I could get one out. No, don't say any of these. Come on, let me have one. I've got a podium booked. And he gets out there and is like, we should be able to have sex with livestock. We're going to relocate everyone by alphabetical order. If your surname begins with A, you live in Berwick.
Anyone switching their radio on at a certain point of Ian's bit there might be thinking, well, the Archers has got very racist. Yeah, the latest opinion poll by YouGov put Labour and the Conservatives neck and neck. Unfortunately for the government, the necks involved belong to, respectively, a giraffe and a hippopotamus that's just had a breeze block dropped on its head from a crane. The YouGov poll also asked who would make the best Prime Minister. Only 20% thought that Keir Starmer would make the best Keir Starmer, whilst 73% thought that Penny Mordaunt should be Rishi Sunak. Starmer has perhaps already reached the point where even incompetently eating a bacon sandwich can't derail his bid. He'd pretty much have to slaughter a piglet with his bare hands in front of a nursery school full of Peppa Pig fans before smearing the blood over his face and saying, "See you in Moscow." Right, so Ian and Aisha, you have the away question. America is bracing itself for an absolute battering from storm election this year. But according to American attorneys general from 27 states, preventing Donald Trump running for president would provoke widespread what?
Common sense.
Well, they can't have that, to be honest.
Use of the word witch hunt.
Almost certainly true, but that's not what is in the legal filing.
Widespread, measured and calm responses.
The answer is chaos. That stopping Trump from running could provoke chaos. Mm. What do you think Trump running might provoke?
I mean, it's an incredible choice, isn't it? Between two blokes. A bloke that could start a nuclear war out of pettiness and spite, and one that could do it just because he missed his nap.
Is it out of the question that they just rig the election in Biden's favour? Because Trump's accused them of doing that when they haven't done it. If he accuses them of doing it when they have done it, no one's going to believe him. The people who have voted for Biden won't mind. I know I shouldn't be advocating this, but could we not just rig one election?
Yes, America once again this year will come face to face with its own worst enemy, itself. The former British colonial trinket turned global superpower is set for another Biden v. Trump presidential showdown. Like so many addicts, America can't help going back to the things that know it will do it harm. In this case, its own decayed democratic process. Whether Trump will be allowed to run at all now depends on a Supreme Court ruling due in February over whether or not the insurrection he insurrected counts as an insurrection or not. So by this time next year, Trump could be set to move into either the White House or a maximum security penitentiary, or both, or a specially reconfigured Oval Office that doubles up as a jail cell. And whilst many have expressed concern that the combined age of the two likely candidates will be tottering at around the 160 mark, to me, the ages of the candidates should be seen as inspiring, because many people have only achieved their most memorable work later in life. Ian Fleming didn't write his first James Bond novel until he was 44. Colonel Sanders didn't open his first KFC until he was in his 60s. Donald Trump didn't incite his first insurrection until he was 74. And even the old Queen Mother didn't record her first grime album until she was 98. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's Quo. The scores are tied. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks to Shafiq Al-Sandy and Jeff Norcott, Ian Smith and Aisha Hazarika. I've been Andy Zaltzman. Goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Aisha Hazarika, Shafiq Al-Sandy, Jeff Norcott and Ian Smith. In the chair was Andy Zaltzman. And additional material was written by Cody Darla, Jade Gebby and Mike Shepherd. The producer was Sam Holmes, and it was a BBC Studios production for Radio 4.
It's good to have them back for a new series, and we'll tune in next week for more.